verses 25 to 30. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along there. There are also Bibles under the seats in front of you, so feel free to use those, or it'll be up here on the screen. And if you are physically able to stand, would you mind standing to honor the reading of God's Word? Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Let's pray together real quick. Father, thank you for this incredible promise that I know I need to hear. I think that we all need to be reminded of this time of the year. And so I pray that you would open our ears to hear and give us hearts that are receptive to your truth, that we would see you as the beautiful, all-satisfying creator of the universe that you are, who also cares personally and deeply for each of us. So I pray that we would receive that this morning, that we would see Christ exalted and your spirit would guide us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, after a long semester or even a longer year, it's understandable to maybe feel a little worn down at this point in the year, or perhaps leading right up to Christmas. Maybe you were rushing about, you know, in a frenzy preparing for the holidays. Maybe you got plagued with one of the many, you know, little illnesses that seem to float around this time of the year. The other day I opened our medicine cabinet and I just saw like a row of inhalers and cold medicine, and that just sort of chronicled our journey over the last few months in our family. So maybe that's been your experience, or maybe perhaps you've just faced some hard circumstances in life this year. And if you're like me, it's tempting to look forward to a much-needed vacation, right? To getting some sleep, to sitting down with a good book. Brandon Sanderson's fifth book just came out, so, you know, that's on my shelf now. Relaxing outside with a warm cup of tea, feeling the breeze, enjoying the sunshine on your face. You know, most of all, just kind of basking in this freedom of temporarily pushing aside your responsibilities, right? There's no projects, there's no deadlines, there's no emails to send, there's none of that. You just get to set all that aside and feel the weight kind of fall off your shoulders, right? And those vacations can be amazing. They're much needed for all of us. And hopefully you're in the middle of one of those right now. But as delightful as those breaks are, they're almost always shorter than we wish them to be, right? You just zip through them and then all of a sudden it's over. And then when we reach the end of it, we are faced with this question, was that enough? You know, maybe it's the Sunday night before you're going back to work, or your responsibilities are going to resume and you're taking that deep breath like, am I ready for another year? You know, was that enough? Or to put it another way, was that the kind of rest that I really needed? Is this rest sufficient not just for tired backs or fuzzy brains or frayed emotions? Is this rest enough for weary souls? And if not, what kind of rest do I need? Do I really need? And you know, when thinking through that question, there's perhaps no better place to turn than this set of verses here in Matthew 11. I love to go there, where we see this description both of the rest that we need and the rest that Christ offers us. We see Jesus says to his listeners here, come to me, all who are weary, all who labor and are heavy laden. Right? He said, and by those who labor, he doesn't just mean those who work, but rather those who are experiencing the effects of this tireless work. That is those who toil, those who navigate through the daily grind of survival, right? Those who are spent. That's why some translations render this those who are weary. That's what I've got in my mind from the NIV from years and years, those who are weary. And then those who are heavy laden. Jesus means those who are weighed down by life's burdens, who are feeling the unbearable pressures and the demands of life. And you know, both of those certainly describe the experiences of the hearers of Jesus' day. The average first century Israelite in that region lived at subsistence level. In an agrarian society, you know, with little economic diversity, many survived day to day, working tirelessly at their trades just to have enough for that day. And so the notions of savings or a surplus behind that would have been, you know, a luxury that was afforded only to a fortunate few in their society. And instead, daily existence involved scratching out a living to ensure that you and your family survived. And that level of insecurity, at least from a human perspective, coupled with largely manual work, would have just been physically and emotionally exhausting. And on top of that, they lived under the rule of the Roman Empire, which meant heavy taxation on their already limited means, right? Plus, they felt the daily social and political pressure that came from living under the occupation of a foreign power in their land. So these first century Jews were certainly weary and heavy laden. Well, 20 centuries later, we find ourselves in fairly different circumstances, do we not? We are beneficiaries of technological advances that create conveniences and efficiencies in everyday life that would not only have been unimaginable, they would have approached magic in the minds of the people of that day, right? Things like smartphones and cars and washing machines and dishwashers and microwave ovens and GPS and perhaps most important to all of us Floridians, air conditioning. We also live in a country with constitutionally protected freedoms. And although quite imperfect, we have access to education and health care and nutritious food and social safety nets that would have been inconceivable to an ancient audience. And though there's, of course, a wide range of wealth within our country, even those living at a poverty level today would have been considered wealthy by the standards of the average first century Israelite. So when it comes to luxuries and privileges and opportunities in the 21st century, we have an embarrassment of resources. Yet, in spite of all of this, when we hear Jesus' words, we still resonate deeply with them, do we not? Even with all the conveniences and the opportunities of modern life, we often still feel exhausted. Do we not all too often feel haggard and worn out? You know, perhaps it's from the pace of life that we run at, perhaps it's the volume of activities and work that we have used to fill in the void that was created by those technological efficiencies. Or perhaps it's the technologies themselves that are siphoning our time and our energy. But whatever the set of causes, we can regularly feel like we are just running on fumes. And even with the freedoms and the privileges we enjoy, we often still feel burdened. Do we not also feel weighed down by the heavy loads of life, overwhelmed by stress and anxiety and relational turmoil and comparison? No matter what we have accomplished or how successful we've become, we find it easier to see what we lack than to see what we have. And to dream about the day when we'll finally have whatever, fill in the blank, and then we'll be happy and content and relieved and satisfied. So despite our extraordinary circumstances, we still feel weary and heavy laden. And that's because there's a universality to our need for rest. Not only physical and emotional recovery from the demands of life, which comes along with being human, but also because there's something deeper in us in need of rest. That persistent struggle with this unresolved burden, even despite improving circumstances, reveals that there's a deeper condition within us that needs treating. And that was true of the Israelites then, and it's true of us now. This condition is not essentially physical or emotional or environmental, but spiritual. Dr. Andrew Huberman, who's an associate professor of neurobiology in the Stanford School of Medicine, has a popular podcast and research laboratory. He shared in a recent podcast, he was asked about five essentials for his life. And he shared these five things. He said, necessary resources, a fit, energetic body, a calm and peaceful mind, a home filled with love, and a spiritual life. And he said that for him and for many people, it is the calm and the peaceful mind that's the most difficult of all of those things. Which is undoubtedly true. I don't know if you resonate with that or not. I do. And I think it's because of this deeper spiritual condition. It's the symptom of that. St. Augustine put his finger on this, right, in this famous line from Confessions. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." Our heart is restless until it rests in you. And that is the condition. It's a spiritual restlessness, an ache, a longing in the depth of our beings for something that will bring us relief, right? And no amount of vacation time or luxuries or worldly ease is going to satisfy that, which is why even when our conditions improve, we still struggle with the sense of weariness because that restlessness remains. While we need physical and emotional rest, more than anything else, we need spiritual rest. And here I love in this passage, we see the kindness and the mercy of our God in what Christ offers us. What does Jesus say? "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here we see the Son of God inviting us, all of us, to come to him, to bring him all of our worries, all of our cares, all of our frustrations, all of our burdens. And he invites us to bring them to him and lay them at his feet. And he makes us a promise that's sweeter than any promise we have ever heard. "I will give you rest." And not just rest, he says later, "I will give rest for your souls." He promises relief, not just physical and emotional relief, but the deeper relief that we need more than anything else in this world. And how does he accomplish this? Well, he explains it through the metaphor of the yoke, right? We may be familiar with all this. There were two kinds of yoke in the day. There was the animal yoke and a human yoke. An animal yoke was a harness that was put around two animals to keep them in sync as they were, you know, pulling a cart or a plow or something like that. And the human yoke was worn just by one person. It was used to distribute a load across someone's shoulder. So if you were carrying something heavy, you know, you were carrying pails of water or something, rather than carrying them with your hands, they'd be attached to the yoke and the load would be distributed across your shoulders. Because of the audience and the context, that's likely the yoke that Jesus has in mind here. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's saying Jesus is offering for us to take off this heavy yoke that we have been carrying around. and to put on his light yoke, to take off the heavy yoke that not only is representative of the demands of this life, and not only the emotional and the physical weight of existence, but it's that deeper, unresolved nature of this spiritual condition, this yearning for something that will satisfy us. And along with that, our every futile effort to achieve that in our own wisdom and strength. In the day of Jesus, that yoke took the form of a heavy set of rules that were imposed by the religious leaders. Severe restrictions, extensive Sabbath regulations, ritual purity expectations, scrupulous demands for tithing, just to name a few, all of which exceeded the commands of Scripture. But why were those put in place? They were an attempt to find spiritual rest by achieving righteousness through legalistic conformity. But instead, the effect was just a crushing weight of restrictions and guilt for failing to fulfill them. In our day, this can take all kinds of forms. We can try, similarly to the leaders of Jesus' day, to achieve righteousness through legalistic means, twisting practices of piety into practices of self-justification. But we can also go the other direction, right? We can cast off all religious notions and search for soul satisfaction in the comforts and the pleasures of this world. But both of those efforts wind up loading us down with heavy burdens. The burdens of guilt, the burdens of shame. But Jesus offers us something so much better. He invites us to lay down those heavy, worthless yokes and to take his yoke upon us and to learn from him. To know God, that's the invitation. To know the character and the care of the Son of God who, he says, is gentle and lowly in heart. To know the compassion and the mercy of God the Father. To know the faithful, guiding presence of God the Spirit. The yoke that Jesus offers, and the only thing that brings rest to our souls, is a new relationship with God. A sincere, heart-level relationship with our Creator, which is made possible only through Christ, through his kindness, through his humility, through his embrace, through his sacrifice, and the righteousness that he offers us. Jesus offers for us to lay down the heavy load of exhaustion and worry and weariness and self-justification and self-actualization, and in exchange to take on the light and the easy yoke of walking with him by faith. So as we approach this new year, as we think about 2025 and what this will look like, I encourage you to consider what it would look like to receive the gift that Christ is offering you in a real and tangible way. What burdens are you carrying? What worries or anxieties are weighing down your shoulders? Even though you would say, yes, I follow Christ, yes, I've taken his yoke upon me, are you carrying the yoke that Jesus has offered for you? Are you continuing to pick up that heavy yoke and put it back on your shoulder? And what would it look like for you to hand that over to God? What if this year, instead of making a resolution, you focused every day on receiving an invitation to hand your burdens to him, to receive what he is offering you, a vital, intimate, life-changing, soul-satisfying relationship with him? And what would it look like to devote this year to receiving that invitation every single day? When the alarm clock goes off and your feet hit the ground and you feel the temptation to pick up the heavy yoke and carry that on your shoulders, what would it look like to instead take the yoke of Jesus? To take the yoke of the relationship with him, to know him and grow in love for him and trust in him, to seek to walk in righteousness, not by your own strength, but by the strength that Christ supplies. That's what Christ is offering you this day and this year. And I pray that our church would press into that this year, that we would focus on receiving this gift, on walking with him, and that that 2025 would be marked by finding rest for our souls. Amen.